Everyone. Myself organized here a second. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalms 28. Psalms chapter 28. Just want to read a list to you to keep in perspective what's going on. Worldwide deaths from January 1st to March 25th. 21,297 by the coronavirus. 113,034 by the seasonal flu. 228,095 by malaria. 249,904 by suicides. 313,903 by traffic fatalities. 390,908 by HIV AIDS. 581,599 by alcohol, 1,162,481 by smoking, 1,909,804 by cancer, 2,382,324 by hunger, supposedly, 9,913,702 by abortion since January 1st. So we got to keep in perspective a few things. The difference with this is that this has the potential to impact you. That is the one difference. You have the flu. We're talking with Matthew. Cancer can impact any one of us. But that cancer isn't going to contaminate someone else. And that is the great difference in this case. Literally any one of us could carry death for others on our hands. And that's what we don't want. And that's the perspective. But there are a lot of people suffering today that has nothing to do with coronavirus. And you know that as well as I do. There's a multitude of people besides that who are afraid to get sick or of getting sick. And there are all kinds of new work practices taking place in every place that is still remains open in their work day. I was at Menards, and I had pre-ordered everything online. But you still have to go inside to the order pickup. And they don't make that an easy place to get to in their store. It tells you in the information packet to go in through the front door. And where the front door entrance is, it's in the polar opposite of the store. It's in the back far right corner. And you enter in on the front left. And so I'm walking through there and seeing people. Some people have masks on, others don't. Some people, you can just tell they could care less. So I get back, though, to that counter. The individual wasn't there. Someone else came up and said, well, let me call him for you. And he comes up super friendly, keeping the six-foot distance. He runs all the process, and he says, I still need you to sign on the digipad. And so I go over there, and I sign it with my finger, and then he offers me hand sanitizer. And then while I'm using the hand sanitizer, he hits the digipad with a sanitizer cloth, cleaning everything down. I mean, there's a lot of things that are taking place today because of the fear. The fear of what you can't see, literally. That's what we're talking about. And so in a real physical way today, you can be as nice as you possibly can be, as nice as you possibly can be, yet contaminate people. Now, Julie and I were in, we did real quick grocery shopping yesterday morning, and we were at Daily Deals. And this woman just has a nasty cough and is coughing literally on all of the hot dog sausage stuff. Like, literally. It was a smoker cough. But still, it was like people do not take the reality serious of what is taking place. Well, yesterday I read about a 44-year-old fellow named Mendez. Maybe some of you read about him in Texas. Perfect health, very active, 6 children, a wife, and it took him down hard and fast and he died. So the notion that it only attacks weak people is not true. Lots of healthy people have died. There's a pastor in Lansing right now, an Independent Fundamental Baptist preacher that has it. He was with a young boy in his church, well, a teenager in his church. The teenager now has it. And there's a lot of fear stemming as a result of not knowing, not being able to see this. But let's look at Psalms 28:7. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Let's go to him in prayer. Father, I do thank you for this day that you've given to us. And Lord God, I just thank you that you are this shield. And God, I just pray today that you would help us, those that have accepted you as Savior, to remind ourselves of the power of that shield and the purpose of that shield. And God, I ask that you would just help us through the course of this day, through the course of these many days now, to reflect the light and the love that you have already given to us. You've already given to the world, but so many of these people, Father, cannot see it. For the God of this world hath blinded their eyes, and we just ask, dear Lord, that you would take away the scales from their eyes that they could see. Lord, that you would take away the blocks in their ears that they could hear so that they could receive the gospel. Lord, I just thank you for your mercy. Lord, I thank you for your long-suffering. Lord, I thank you for your gentleness. I just ask that you please be with us now. Please give me the words to say, Lord, the clarity of thought, that you'd be honored and glorified and exalted as you are worthy of. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, this phrase yesterday stuck out to me in our verse. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." The shield is what we're going to talk about this morning for a few moments. This shield is attainable. It is attainable. In Psalms 91, verse 4, the Bible says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." And it said, "shall be." In other words, it wasn't in possession of at the moment, but it will be. And as I just pondered that for a moment, this shield is attainable because it's already been purchased. Now, wait a minute. If you go into many stores, you're going to find things that are not there. Because why? They've already been purchased. And because they've already been purchased, they are not attainable by you. You can't find them. You can't put your hands on them. Our governor had to put some kind of a stipulation on price gouging back a week or two ago because that's what people were doing, right? And selling old, wet rolls of toilet paper for $99,000 out of a barn. You know, just being ridiculous, obviously, but you can't find things anymore because they were already purchased. Now, Julie and I were at Meijer yesterday morning early, and there were so many areas that were empty. One of the things that doesn't surprise me, but I just think poor souls, is all of the boxed macaroni and cheese. That fake cheese, you know, that powder you mix with water or milk or whatever you do, and nasty, but people think that's a necessity, that's a staple. There was still quite a bit of milk, but there was no Keplinger's bread that we like to buy. There was almost no toilet paper. They had a small section with Scott's, and I looked at Julie, and Julie says, "We don't need it." And so we moved on. Hand sanitizer is gone. Vitamins, a lot of the vitamins are gone. I was talking to the Bradleys yesterday, the day before, and they said that some of them are vendors of the essential oils and then another brand. And Thieves and whatever those other cleaning ones are, they're all gone or they're rationed one bottle at a time. And so there's all kinds of things like that going on. But the things that are purchased are no longer attainable by us. They're not there. I walked by the toys at Meijer. And I was surprised how many pegs and shelves were empty of toys. Nerf guns. People were planning to use their time wisely and so forth. So that's fun. As I consider on even further, there are some stores that you can't purchase anything at their store because it's closed. I've been using Big L to do all the materials on this job for Nicholson's, and I got an email Friday afternoon that they were going to be closing today and not reopening for at least 2 weeks. All of their stores are closed. And that's a rippling effect. There's all kinds of stores that are closing until further notice. A couple of box stores obviously are still open, the big people, or there's some people that are open and yet they're just servicing you at the door. But even some of them are closing down because it's not profitable. It's not feasible for them to do that. But this one product, the shield, though it has been purchased, is freely offered to all. And you know where I'm going with this. Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." This has been purchased. If we jump back a few chapters to chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 20, it isn't even something that we could purchase with money. In Acts 8, 20, the Bible says, "But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because that thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." And I'll tell you, there are a lot of people spending a lot of money, and some of them aren't even spending their own money because they don't have it. They're just putting it on credit cards, and they're paying premium prices for all kinds of things they think that they have to have. In the end of this, we're going to see that some of the third world countries handled this process much better than we did as a whole, because they didn't think they had to have all of these non-essential items. But in this case, this is not a non-essential item. This is a vital item for us to be able to have. It's not purchasable, but it is attainable. It is attainable because it is being offered to all by faith, because it has already been purchased. And let's jump back to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And I know this sounds like really like a salvation message here at this first point, but it's a reminder to us of who is in possession of this authority to be the shield. In 2 Samuel 22:36, the Bible says here, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great." And as we see that gift, it says, "Given me the shield of thy salvation." And at this moment, we could look at this in a literal physical way. And yet, we have it here to give us hope. And so it's a spiritual lesson that we are gathering from this. And it's talking about giving the shield of his salvation. Jump over, if you will, with me to Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18. If we're going to take comfort in the scriptures, we have to open it up. Psalms 18, verse 35, the Bible says here, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me large." So we're repeating that passage that we've already looked at, and yet God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has it echoed again to comfort us, give us strength, to give us focus. And so as we consider this, that this shield is a gift, the gift of the purchase of salvation, jump back now to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. And let's look at that last phrase of verse 4 again. It says, "His truth shall be thy shield." Now, we've already looked at the fact that it's a gift. We already know that it's been purchased with his blood. We can trust in his truth. We're going to look at a few references in regards to that. And let's jump to the New Testament. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, where we want to remind ourselves that we can have confidence in him because he is true. Galatians 3:8. The Bible says, "In the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." And so it was a prophecy that God would justify the heathen through faith, not through purchase, not through works. I'm reading a book right now that says, to do or done. It's in Spanish, so I think I'll translate it. To do or done. And it's a powerful message of salvation, and I just was encouraged by it, and I was trying to encourage my boys last night how encouraging it was and how well thought out this little small book was in regards to that. But this verse echoes it very clearly, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. And that's what all of us were. We were heathen until we put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 talks about the redemption. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Why? Because we couldn't pay that debt. We know that. Maybe someone out there that's watching or listening would be encouraged by the fact that Christ is the one that redeems. I don't redeem anything of my own. I am not sufficient in and of myself to do anything. I can have a little banking account and medical bills, car crash, breakdown, who knows what. Tree falls on the house. I have a tree I got to take down. That's why I'm thinking of that. And there's a host of things that in a heartbeat could empty anyone's bank account. Identity theft. You don't even have to do or experience anything on your own, but yet somebody else taps in and takes advantage of some funds that you have saved someplace. All kinds of things. But when it comes to this shield, it's been a purchase that is being offered to everyone equally. Colossians 1:14, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So this shield that we're looking at, our God, is certainly attainable because it was already purchased and because it's being offered to all by faith. But it is also a shield that is knowable. If we jump back there to Psalms 91 for just a second, it's a shield that's attainable, and it's a shield that is knowable. There are a lot of important people. I say that tongue-in-cheek. There's a lot of important people, and there are a lot of valuable products that I don't know anything about. And I'm sure you're exactly the same way. All kinds of products, all kinds of people that we don't know anything about. But the creator of this world has made himself known to all of us. In Psalms 91, once again, Psalms 91, verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." This is a shield that is knowable. Let's jump to John chapter 1. Our shield is knowable. John chapter 1, and I didn't really put too much interest or confidence in grammar this morning. We're just understanding what I'm trying to explain. John 1:9, it says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Every man. The creator of the universe has made himself known to every single individual that has ever been born. Jump to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1:19. It says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." God, this shield has made himself known. He is knowable. Even by those who don't even know him yet, in a personal way, he has made himself known. Well, by those who have trusted him, listen to some of these promises in John 10. John chapter 10, let's just be reminded of these promises in John chapter 10, verse 14. The Bible says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Our shield is knowable. Our shield is knowable in a personal, intimate way. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2:19, the Bible says here, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." In other words, he knows them and they know him, and the responsibility and the relationship that is involved there. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5:13. Two very powerful words in the English language. In 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Two extremely confident words in our language that give us that possession, that attainable shield that is knowable in our presence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says here, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." This shield is knowable. So the shield is attainable even though it's been purchased, because he paid for all of it and is distributing it equally, if you will. The shield is knowable because he's made himself known from the foundations of the world through the creation itself. He is knowable by those who do not yet know him or have trusted him. John 1 continues and shows us, right, that the light came into the world, but the world knew him not. So even those that have not accepted or acknowledged his existence, they still have had the light presented to them. And certainly by us that do know him, we know that we can have a relationship, an intimate relationship with our God, that dependence is placed more and more on him as we go through this walk. But the shield, thirdly, is dependable. The shield is dependable. Jump back to Proverbs, in the Old Testament here, Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, it says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." This morning I woke up, and the very first thing that I did when I woke up is I grabbed my phone and looked for the devotional, the daily devotional that I have signed up to, and it was on the holiness of God. And that got my wheels cranking in regards to this lesson as well about God's holiness. And this week, I think it was this week, we opened up a tool. Oh, I know. So on Monday, we started laying a laminate flooring in the Nicholson's home. And I have what's called a guillotine for cutting that. And it just wasn't working very good. So I bought another blade, and we were going to stick that in. But the wrench, the Allen wrench that came with it, you could see that it was a cast piece of metal. And right at the curve, there wasn't enough metal, and there was an open crack. What good is an Allen wrench if right at the curve it's got a crack in the metal? It isn't going to last one turn. That does not represent God's holiness. At the place where the strength is needed the most, that tool was the weakest. But that does not represent our God and his holiness. As we consider this verse, every word of God is pure. It's so pure. It's precise. It is for us. It's applicable. It's necessary to our existence, if you will, in our relationship with our God. It is his word that is truth. And as I considered his holiness, and as you consider this thought of his words being pure, and jumping back to Psalms 91... consider what he is telling us here in Psalms 91. It says, Verse 2 says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and consider refuge. I've been reading, and Julie, and I guess many have participated in reading a series that is set in the Nazi era in where? In Denmark. And the places of refuge were only secure as long as they were secret, 100% secret. And we know this to be true when we read the record of Corrie ten Boom. Those Jews were only safe in her home until it was discovered that there were Jews in the home. And she had built that wall upstairs, and so even then, I forget if it was 13 or 23, I forget how many people were still hidden up there, a code name Watches, they were safe because it was never discovered. At least at that time, it wasn't discovered, and they were able to get away. But the secret places are only secret, or these places of refuge are only viable as long as they're secret. Now, I realize there are refuges if there's a tornado that comes through or there's a hurricane and a multitude of people have to gather in one place. But even then, the comfort or the sanitation is only up to a certain point because it's only capable of handling so many people. We get port-a-johns all the time. And every time in the port-a-john, it says, this port-a-john is serviced weekly for 10 people only. Beyond that point, they're not guaranteeing anything. But it is rated for 10 people under normal use for 7 days, and that's it. Well, you know, if you go to Jackson's Landing, that thing hasn't been serviced in 3 months, it seems like. Or it's had 5,000 people use it. It's just ridiculously dirty every single time. Always out of toilet paper, no hand sanitizer, and there are flies everywhere. You know, so we're talking about places that are prepared with precision, and our God, because he is holy, has a place of refuge that cannot be discovered by the enemy. The enemy can never figure out how to get us out of that refuge. Every point, every detail is determined. It was planned. Remember years ago when it seemed like the DPIs of printers and copiers was so important. And it was like some of those first ones that came out, you could almost see with your eye a hole in these letters because the dots weren't that close together. And it was more on the grayscale instead of black or whatever the color was. And I just remember folding so many of those tracts or collating some of those Bible courses at our table in Wabasis and just noticing how that the precision, even some of the letters, if they got too big, you could almost see like straight lines in it. It couldn't make them round. That's not the case of the refuge of our God, because he is holy. And what that means is that there is not one single speck of error within this shield. There is no weak places in this shield. It is whole. It is holy. And it is a refuge, and it's not just a refuge, in other words, a place to hide, but it says it is a fortress. Consider that in verse 2 once again. He is my refuge and my fortress. He is not only this place where I can hide and not be discoverable, but also it's this bold presence. A fortress does not hide itself. It is there with almost obnoxiously asking somebody to make just even to try to enter. This fortress that is so sure, is so strong, there is nothing stronger, there is nothing more protective, there is nothing more sure than our hope in the God of hope. Nothing. But we forget. We do forget. Because our flesh is still attached to us. We're still in this carcass of imperfection, of unholiness, and we have to be reminded of our holy God. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10 now of Psalms 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So now we have that first and second person going on here. David, the author of the psalm, is already confident of this, and the others are being encouraged to place their faith in him as well. It says, 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why? Because we love our God. And because we love our God, he knows. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I thought about those wings and how that in his holiness, in his perfection, that no amount of storm and wind can pass through those wings. You know, it's like the hymn that Brother Verheek loved so much, Under His Wings, and that story of the chicken in the fire, protecting all the chickens. The mother died, but all the chickens were saved. Our Savior died so that we could all be saved. But this reminded me of another hymn that is inspired by Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Says, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O God, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be turned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And if you consider that verse then also with Psalm 23:4 says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And of course, Hebrews 13:5, as he said, he would never leave us nor forsake us. And that hymn that was inspired by these verses is found in the hymn, the soul-stirring hymns, the blue book that once in a great eon we pull out. And it's called Till the Storm Passes By. And so I just want to read these words, then we'll pray here. It says, In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. And so we have some children that think that the refuge is our bed when the storm comes. And we normally find them there pretty quickly. While the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place, mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times, Satan whispered, there is no need to try. For there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. When the long night is ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Until the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky, hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. And let's close with John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. It says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are in his hand if we placed our trust in him. And there is nothing that can remove us. Oh, I've considered the consequences of this virus, and in 2 weeks, one of us might not be here. We have no idea. This pastor had no idea he would be contaminated. The three people in Montcalm County had no idea they were going to be contaminated. And I've considered that, but at the same token, though, just like this Mrs. Mendez in Texas now having to figure out how to deal with six children and life without her husband, even in that, as we see Mrs. Wesco, we know that God's plan doesn't end. There is still a purpose, and there are still people that need to be reached with this shield that's attainable, it's knowable, and it's dependable. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. And Lord, just thank you for your presence. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in the midst. And I thank you for that promise. And I ask, dear God, that you would just help us to be encouraging to those that we have the opportunity to meet or cross paths with. And Lord, I do pray at the same token that we would not be foolish. Lord, that we would love our neighbors ourselves. Lord, that we would be considerate. Lord, that we would understand that may it just be a great reminder that no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. Just as this germ is unseen, we literally can be impacting others, just like our sin. Lord, help us to remember that. Please rebuke the devil and his angels. And Lord, please bless this day, Lord. Your word talks to us about being glad and rejoicing when we have the opportunity to be in your house. And we do thank you for that. Lord, there are some grave moments right now, but we do consider some greater statistics as we think of abortion. And God, I just ask that you would outlaw it. Lord, for those that are fighting for it, Lord, may they be completely humbled. Lord, if they won't humble themselves, as we've seen in history, God, that you would just remove them. Lord, I just pray that you would forgive us of our sin, so that you could heal our land. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.